strengthened you with his help and provided you with all the good things so that you may give thanks. God also says in part of Ayah 7 of Surah Ibrahim, "If you are grateful, I will surely enhance you." This is a divine promise, and Allah will never break His promise. We Iranians have felt this promise several times. 40 years ago, we were involved with Iraq, which was supported by at least 45 countries, led by the US. In those days, we were not able to make even a hand grenade. This, while today, the Islamic Republic of Iran is the 9th country which is able to make satellite and launcher. In the present Iranian year, we have sent 3 satellites to the orbit with a satellite carrier indigenously manufactured by Iranian scientists and experts. One of the senior managers in the field says, "Iran was the 43rd country among the club of satellite owners. We started our activities with India, but with the meddling of the Zionist regime, the cooperation failed and India left. Then we cooperated with Russia. It was a cooperation full of humility. At this time, when we wished to only see a satellite closely, Russians showed the satellite model from a distance of a few meters, fearing that we might find out the fabric and the structure of their satellite. If we asked Russians as when we would be able to make satellites, we would hear the answer, 'You won't be able to make it within the next 35 years. And even if you make it, you will not be able to launch it yourselves. And we will not launch it for you under any circumstances.' Yet we did it. We ourselves both made the satellite and launched it. I remember that after launching, the first ones to call and congratulate were the Russians, while their tone had changed with us and there was no trace of humiliation." Dear listeners, space know-how was not the only arena in which we Iranians saw the materialization of Allah's promise. Before the Islamic Revolution, Iran had no position among the highly cited articles in the world and was not even among the 50 nations in knowledge production. Today, however, the Islamic Republic of Iran ranks 15th in knowledge production. As for security too, Iran is the most secure country in West Asia and one of the most secure ones in the world. As in the field of production missiles, drones and various types of weapons and ammunitions, also Iran is considered an advanced country. The last but not the least, the Islamic Republic is a pioneer in the region and an important country in the fields of nanotechnology, medicine, biotechnology, nuclear sciences, renewable energies, stem cells, and so on. These have all been achieved through thanksgiving to God, the source of all bounties and blessings.
A diverse range of programs. Spirituality. Youth. Eastern Tales. Roundtable discussions. Culture. Politics. All produced by IRIB English Radio.
Charge them. 32
2 months.
Yani
32 million. Bazaar. Historically, each epoch has a particular industrial growth spurt. At present, what we are witnessing is another industrial shift, but this time, it is towards knowledge-based products. These items have allowed several processes in our lives and industries to become faster and more efficient. For example, medical devices such as the hemodialysis machine have helped treat illnesses that were previously lost causes. The development of knowledge-based products is also important for the preservation of the environment and protecting it from harmful matter such as industrial waste. It's hard to imagine what our lives would look like without these items.
Hello once again and welcome to another edition of Bazaar with me, Sarah Dema. This time, we are going to venture through Iwan's knowledge-based productions. We will uncover who makes these products and why they are important to all industries in the country. We will also check out how the government is supporting knowledge-based companies in developing new advanced technologies. So get comfortable and let's start the show.
This time, our journey took us to the city of Apar in Zanjan province, where we visited Fanovaron Zistkore. This knowledge-based company was established nearly a decade ago and is active in three fields of laboratory work, research, and production of advanced machinery. The beating heart of this company is its advanced lab, which is trusted and certified by the National Environmental Protection Agency. Plus, it's part of the country's strategic technology lab network. Its labs are equipped with environmental monitoring technology as well as other instruments to carry out specialized research. Currently, its extensive lab cooperates closely with various industries, including hospitals in the field of environmental pollution monitoring, and acts as a research center for future innovations. This knowledge-based company provides many research services through its laboratories. For example, it previously carried out research projects in the field of oil refinery liquid waste. Another project was research on the treatment of synthetic resin sewage discharge using synthesized photocatalytic nanocomposites. These are used to gauge and remove pollutants in liquids for purification purposes. This company actively exchanges scientific information both nationally and internationally and regularly publishes its findings in academic journals at home and abroad. It collaborates with academic institutions and other research-based firms, providing them with test results.
The government has been shifting more and more towards a knowledge-based economy that thrives on research. So knowledge spillover plays a big role in entrepreneurship, especially in cross-discipline research. Having labs in the country dedicated to advancing specialized research is very important. These types of knowledge-based companies help expand products in the market that may have been previously imported.
It was the first company in the country to apply science for manufacturing wastewater treatment and purification. Its manufacturing workshops are massive, with a cumulative area of over a hectare to produce the giant water treatment systems. Its machinery is used in industrial settings where water is refined and returned to the system for reuse. Furthermore, its machinery has helped preserve valuable water resources nationwide. Some sectors that apply this technology are the food industry. In general, all industries that use water to produce their products are the end user of this company's water purification machinery. All of the technology produced here is manufactured along the lines of European standards.
Its capabilities and products have been exported to regional areas, including Europe. As part of its future goals, this company wants to expand its product list and increase its exports. It's noteworthy that this company has created numerous job opportunities directly and indirectly. Among its staff, this company employs the capabilities of environmental engineers, among other experts, on its roaster. Among its many competitive advantages, one can name the high-quality material that is used for productions of its water purification systems. But that's not all. This company has played a big role in creating technology that preserves all the fine qualities of water using advanced machines for purifications. Iran has been supporting the shift to a knowledge-based society by implementing plans that empower companies in their efforts to develop advanced technology. In fact, in 2010, the government passed laws promoting and supporting knowledge-based companies as part of the legal framework. This has paved the way for boosting innovation and scientific progress, leading to many social and economic advantages. In 2013, there were only 50 knowledge-based firms and startups. That figure has grown over the years to well over 6,000 companies, according to the Vice Presidency Office for Science and Technology. A diverse range of products is manufactured by these firms to meet the country's rising domestic demands. This has saved the country millions of dollars by reducing expensive imports. Iran makes thousands of different types of specialized technologies. The amount of progress of knowledge-based firms in the fields of medical devices, energy, and information communication technology is the most noticeable. Aircraft maintenance, mining, petrochemicals, and pharmaceuticals are among other disciplines researchers are focusing on. And exports of knowledge-based products are estimated to reach over $1 billion by the end of this year. That's based on figures from the Science and Technology Office. The National Innovation Fund says tech firms and knowledge-based companies raked in over $5 billion in revenues last year. Some 40 knowledge-based companies are listed in the stock market as well. So far, the government has implemented numerous policies and plans to help support knowledge-based companies over the years. Some of these schemes include loans with low interest rates, tax exemptions, and easing commercial license issuances. The goal is to encourage the development of Iran's tech ecosystem and boost lucrative high-tech productions for exports.
Research steered by scientific investigation plays a huge role in product development. At its core, advanced technology is created by adding valuable features to items that have specialized uses. And academic and research institutions are the bridge between ideas and the commercialization of products. Several universities across Iran are providing services to help support knowledge-based startups.
High technology is a product of advancements in national academic and scientific research. Iran possesses a lot of intellectual prowess as a whole. Evidence of this can be seen by the high number of academic publications both nationally and internationally. Nearly 70,000 academic articles were published in 2020 alone to show for it. Figures from the International Web of Science show Iran was globally ranked 16th in 2019 for its citation work. Numerous knowledge-based companies that provide valuable research and products are born out of university, tech park, and trade zone incubators. These establishments provide platforms that support the creation of new businesses in various fields of advanced tech development as they start up. Incubators offer services to entrepreneurial teams to successfully execute their ideas and help them compete in national and global markets. Moreover, incubators are an access channel for services such as workspaces and facilities, technical and legal consultations. These are important for the sustainability of both existing firms as well as innovative startup businesses. The goal is to increase regional economic growth and diversify the national economy. Such development support also strengthens the tech ecosystem and improves investment opportunities.
Fire clay is basically mud, but a lighter, stickier type of mud with high alumina content. It's actually everywhere around us, but cannot be seen until it is uncovered from the earth. In its raw form, fire clay is found near or between layers of coal in coal mines. People have been extracting it from the ground for millennia to make bricks, ceramicware, tools homes, and a whole bunch of other things. Its qualities get even better when it's baked and stiffened. This clay has a great number of industrial uses and lasts nearly forever. Our quest for answers led us to a company that owns and manages at least 5 mines in Fars province. Esterlal Obade Company specializes in the extraction of fire clay and the production of clay products. Fire clay is a refractory material that can withstand extremely high temperatures without losing its original properties. There are other types of refractories that this company also produces in small amounts, such as high alumina and melite ceramics. But its main claim to fame is the production of highly useful fire clay. It might be interesting to know that this company is not just a mine owner. It also has 3 factories. These factories make products like fire brick, washroom items such as sinks, and industrial ceramics. Its production facilities can make large amounts of ceramic parts that are used in various fields such as blast furnaces for coke, iron, and steel productions. Because fire clay is heat resistant, this material presents excellent qualities for outdoor flooring purposes. One of the benefits is it doesn't crack or expand when exposed to hot climates. That is why it is widely used across the country, particularly in central and southern regions where temperatures can often exceed 45 degrees Celsius. The quality of fire clay is assessed by its levels of impurities. This company can produce some of the highest-grade fire clays in the West Asian region with around 75% purity. In general, when the material is extracted, it is then transferred to the Research and Development Department where it is tested for quality. One of the competitive advantages of this company over similar firms in this field is the quality of its products that match international standards. This holding company has created dozens of direct job opportunities over the years, and hundreds more people are indirectly hired as well. Out of some 50 fire clay mines nationwide, this mine has been the only producer that extracts its products along the lines of exports. This company has faced many challenges over the years to enjoy its many achievements. Some are related to the fluctuation of domestic raw material prices. As part of its future vision, it has also overhauled production processes to optimize outputs. Besides the mine we just talked about, there is one other major fire clay deposit which is located in Charmahal Bakhtiari province. This mine offers 12 million tons of proven reserves and it is set to produce some of the best quality refractories in the region. Each year, a combined average of 300,000 tons of fire clay are exported.
Iran's tile and ceramic market have become very attractive with rapid socioeconomic development in the West Asian region. Also, there is an increasing need for new housing units in neighboring countries. There are some of the things that are driving Iran's export market in this field. So the country has stepped up its production to gain a larger share of the market.
We looked at the latest figures from the Ministry of Industry to gain more insight into the productions in this field. Data showed that in the year 2020, roughly 400 million square meters of tile were produced in Iran. Such productions were estimated to be worth nearly $450 million. These productions were more than local needs, so nearly 160 million square meters of tiles were exported. Industry participants say that this sector is presently operating at only half of its total production capacity, adding that it has high export potential. With this in mind, the Ministry of Industry, Mining and Trade is working with the government to find ways to expand its markets through production. The goal is to increase production levels by 300 million square meters over the next 4 years. Analysts estimate that this will generate an additional $2 billion in foreign revenues if the strategic sector taps into the full capabilities. Fire clay does not only feed the tile productions. It also supplies raw material to manufacturers of sanitary ceramic ware such as sinks. Iran currently makes copious amounts of these items. In fact, in the first half of last year alone, over 70,000 tons of sanitary ware were released into the market. Going off on information from the National Customs Administration, these items were mainly exported to neighboring countries.
The country's light and heavy construction sector is booming with construction materials in high demands. It is worth noting that domestic raw materials such as fire clay meet 100% of Iran's construction needs. But you don't have to take my word for it. Here are some statistics on the construction materials market.
Iran's steel, cement, tile, and ceramic industries produced more than twice the country's internal needs. Last year, exports of these items raked in some $10 billion in foreign revenues. Tile, glass, and ceramic exports compose some $3 billion of total exports. Steel exports accounted for the rest. That's all based on statistics from the Ministry of Industries, Mining and Trade. On another note, the country's mega mining and metal sector, which also supplies the construction sector, has grown by leaps and bounds in recent years. Industry participants say this was mainly due to the U.S. sanctions on the oil industry, which led to more focus on other sectors. Much of this expansion is in large part made possible by linking research institutions with manufacturers. This step was critical for sharing knowledge in collaborative product development. Catalysts are the unsung heroes of the chemical reactions that make human society tick by. They help speed up chemical processes between molecules that might have been taking years to interact. Factories rely on catalysts to make everything from plastic to drugs. Catalysts also help process petroleum and coal into liquid fuels and are key players in clean energy technologies as well. However, their biggest use happens in the oil and gas industries.
All right, everyone, now I will pass it over to my colleague who has prepared an interesting feature program for you all. Let's take a look.
You definitely have a clear image of a concrete or a steel structure, but when it comes to tensile structures, you most likely cannot picture anything. They're self-standing structures, carrying only tension and no compression. Mostly made of membrane or industrial fabrics, they're most often used for roofs and canopies, creating unique private and public spaces. Mahout is the name of an Iranian company that makes all kinds of tensile structures. Tensile structures can cover vast areas. While they're lightweight compared to other types of construction, they're extremely strong. Tensile fabric structures are designed and engineered to withstand even the most severe weather conditions, providing protection from both rain and sun. Mahout says its products are made using the latest technology and high-quality materials, on par with their international peers. Mahout has under its belt a dedicated team of experts who are constantly exploring new trends and efficient designs for eye-catching yet resilient tensile structures. While the Iranian brand has a strong foothold in Iran's market and is eyeing higher horizons, Mahout says it's working to undertake international projects. Offering a unique landscape for outdoor eateries, restaurants, and coffee shops, tensile structures are beginning to attract more attention in the architecture industry. This means the future market will be lucrative for the actors in this field. And Mahout says it will stand out as it believes quality is in the details.
There is so much more that can be said about knowledge-based products, so let's take a look at some news and trends in this field. You have probably heard the phrase NFT, or non-fungible tokens, being thrown around recently. The very first Iranian NFT issuance platform was established and launched in the country.
The platform is called Beta. It was created by a company in the field of developing digital technologies in the information communication technology sector. Beta digitally certifies artistic and non-artistic works in the form of non-fungible tokens. The developer says it plans to increase international access and grow the platform's ecosystem to determine accurate asset values. People can purchase NFT that are backed by authentic art approved by the system and sold at auction.
Most people don't think twice about fungi, but what if it could be used to help treat diseases? Well, an Iranian knowledge-based company has managed to come up with the technology to produce rare medicinal fungi.
This company focused on producing four species of medicinal fungi. Once cultivation conditions have been established, these plants can be mass-produced. Its medicinal properties will be used in the form of tablets and capsules. These fungi have the potential to treat liver disease, immune deficiencies, diabetes, and some skin diseases. Plus, the four species can now be cultivated in 3 months.
The number of cars and pollution increases as cities grow, and one way to manage this issue is to create specialized technology. Domestic knowledge-based companies and startups have developed 17 innovative products to improve road traffic and reduce air pollution.
The products were developed to address the rising number of vehicles and inner-city trips in cities nationwide. Some of these smart products are used to record traffic violations, collect traffic information, and license systems for restricted traffic zones, among many others. Smart traffic monitoring systems have also been developed by these companies.
We are fresh out of time for our program for today. Thank you for tuning in.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآنك جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك ودعوتك ربي بقرآنك.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرج.
Assalamu alaikum and welcome to Let's Recite the Quranic Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. I'm really, really glad to have Brother Hussein Akbari and Fawad Haider with me today in the studio. Assalamu alaikum, Fawad Haider.
Salam, sir. How are you?
Alhamdulillah. I'm good. How about you?
I'm good, sir.
Alhamdulillah. Salam, Hussein. How are you?
Salamu alaikum. I'm fine.
Fine? Alright. So everyone is fine here. So brothers and sisters, dear listeners of IRB English Radio, thank you so much for joining. Inshallah, today we will talk about Ayah 46, Surah Al-A'raf, and what page? 156. So everyone, let's get started. And of course, we have to listen to the recitation once. And are you ready?
Yes.
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 Let's listen.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وبينهما حجاب وعلى الأعراف رجال يعرفون كلا بسيماهم ونادوا أصحاب الجنة أن سلام عليكم لم يدخلوها وهم يطمعون.
That was a nice recitation. Let me read it once, then Hussein will recite the ayah, and of course, Fawad will help us with the tajweed rules and also the explanation. All right?
Yes.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وبينهما حجاب وعلى الأعراف رجال يعرفون كلا بسيماهم ونادوا أصحاب الجنة أن سلام عليكم لم يدخلوها وهم يطمعون. So this is a beautiful ayah talking about people of the heaven, and let's see what Allah Almighty says. وَبَيْنَهُمَا حِجَابٌ. So it means there will be a veil or a cover between the people of the heaven and
the people of the hellfire.
Hellfire. Like a wall between them.
Yes.
So the interpretation is beautiful. You look at the Tafasir books, inshallah. وَعَلَى الْأَعْرَافِ رِجَالٌ. And on the elevations will be certain men. A'raf. The Surah Al-A'raf, I think once we said in the beginning of the Surah that it's named after the word A'raf. Which
so
is
what does
here.
A'raf mean itself?
Yeah, A'raf is like those high hills. You know hill? Small mountains.
Yes, hills.
Yeah, there will be hills, okay, between the hellfire and the heaven, okay? That certain people, that in narrations there are different narrations about it. Like some narrations say that there will be the people who are so close to Allah Almighty, okay, like imams and the mu'mineen, okay, the great believers, they will be standing there, okay, and they will be looking at the people who are going to enter the heaven, and they will say, Salamun alaykum, mashallah, my congratulations.
So
go enter the Jannah.
Those men means ma'sumin,
yeah,
and imams, these.
In one narration. In some narration, they are the people who are standing in those high top of the hills, okay? They are people who have committed, like you, when they asked me about if somebody commits sins, okay? For example, 100 sins he has and 100 good deeds he has, equal.
Yes.
Yeah, you ask me what happens to them. Yes,
yeah.
I got your answer. In one narration, these are the people who will be standing there on the top. Okay?
Between hellfire and heaven.
On hellfire. And now, Allah's decision, if Allah let them enter Jannah, it's because of the mercy of Allah Almighty. And if Allah Almighty sends them to the hellfire, it is because of their own sins, because of punishment. Okay? And there is no excuse for them.
Sir, so I found out that most of the surahs are named after their important ayahs.
Yeah.
It means, for example, An'am.
Mm-hmm.
In one verse, okay, they used An'am and explained about everything.
Yes.
So is every surah like that?
Actually, the names of the surahs were not at the time when the angel Jibreel sent to the Prophet. For example, this surah, the name is this, okay?
So Prophet named them.
Yeah, Prophet named them and categorized the ayat, okay? That this ayah should be here, this ayah should be here, this ayah should be here, for examples. Some verses were sent earlier, but some verses were sent later.
Why is this?
Based on the occasions that the Prophet was there. So, refer to the Tafasir books, inshallah, for more. Let's talk about the Tajweed section. وَبَيْنَهُمَا حِجَابْ. Hussein, once read it. Then, inshallah, we'll mention some tajweed points.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وبينهما حجاب
حجاب حجاب Read it again.
وبينهما حجاب
أحسن ما شاء الله
ما شاء الله
Jim says that little Jim on the top says Huh?
Sir, so Jim say Jim comes from Jais.
Yeah, the
so
word
it means
Jais.
So Jais rather to stop rather to continue. They're both equal. There's both no recommendation.
Equal. You're allowed. You're permitted.
Yeah.
Jais means you're given the Jawaz. Jawaz means
the permission.
The permission to cross.
You can or you.
Yes.
It's your decision.
For example, in Arabic, for passport, you call Jawaz. Jawaz al-Sayr or Jawaz al-Safar.
Yes.
Passport, Jawaz, Jais. No, we're the same. Okay. وَبَيْنَهُمَا حِجَاب Move on.
وَعَلَى الْأَعْرَافِ رِجَالٌ يَعْرِفُونَ كُلًّا بِسِيمَاهُمْ
أحسن. وَعَلَى الْأَعْرَافِ Make sure you pronounce the عَيْن Hamza correctly, yes? وَعَلَى الْأَعْرَافِ Not وَعَلَى الْعَعْرَافِ عَعْرَافِ No. What? أعرف like أعوذ أعرف
first Hamza
yeah. and then عين رافي has a heavy sound رجال يعرفون Hussein read it رجال يعرفون what's that
what? Sir, though, so this is a rule لام has a تنوين on it رجال
right.
so after the word رجال comes يعرفون the first letter In the word ya'rifun, which just comes after lam, is ya.
Mm.
So based on tanween and nun sakin rules, ya is from the idgham letters.
Good job.
So you merge lam with ya. Rijalui ya'rifun.
Thank you. That was a great explanation. Thank you so much for what? You're a teacher yourself. MashaAllah. Rijalun ya'rifuna changes to?
Rijalui
ya'rifuna. Rijalui.
لُي
يَعْرِفُونَ كُلًّا بِسِيمَاهُمْ He said, كُلًّا بِسِيمَاهُمْ
Yes.
It's because of that baby meme on the top.
Yes.
What does that say?
So, this is like an indication of the إقلاب rule.
إقلاب rule, mashallah. Yes. What does it say, إقلاب?
Like, كُلًّا بِسِيمَاهُمْ So, the first letter is ba in the word BC, right?
Uh-huh.
So, before it, it's كُلًّا.
Kullan.
Kullan, yes.
Yeah, kullan. Tanween it has.
Yeah, intentional mistake. Uh-huh. Kullan.
Kullan.
Yeah, so it's a tanween. And ba is from the iqlab letter.
All right.
Not letters.
The only iqlab letter.
Yeah, letter. So you change the hidden noon sound, which you should not pronounce, to a hidden meme sound, which you should pronounce.
Mm. So it says kullan bisimahum changes to a hidden meme sound.
Yes.
That's why you see that tiny meme on the top. كُلَّن بِسِيمَاهُمْ How do you read it?
كُلَّن بِسِيمَاهُمْ
Alright, make sure it's not a complete meme. كُلَّن No.
Hidden.
كُلَّن بِسِيمَاهُمْ Good job.
قَلْبٌ بِالْحَقِّ تَعَلَّقْ وَبِغَارِحِ رَاءَ تَأَلَّقْ يَبْكِي يَسْأَلُ خَالِقَهُ فَأَتَاهُ الْوَحْيُ فَأَشْرَقْ
Let's recite the Quran.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
So ونادوا أصحاب الجنة أن سلام عليكم أن You hide it.
Yeah.
This is called
إخفاء.
إخفاء. Hide the sound of noon. لم يدخلوها وَهُمْ يَطْمَعُونَ Three قَلْقَلَ examples we have in this ayah. One, حِجَاب. Go for the second one. يَدْخُلُوهَا And وَهُمْ
يَطْمَعُونَ
قَلْقَلَ
So can you say which one is a strong one, which one is a weak one?
All are, the normal one or the strong one is حِجَاب. When you stop.
Oh, it's annoying.
And it changes to sakin. If it has a tashteed, like haqq, this is the strongest.
Strongest.
Yes. But here, yad khuluha, it's in the middle, so it's a normal one.
Yes.
A weak one. Yatlamaun, also that way.
Normal.
So, time to recite. We mentioned all the important tajweed rules, and yeah. Hussein, finish this. وَنَادَوْا أَصْحَابَ الْجَنَّةِ. Then inshallah we'll read it together.
وَنَادَوْا أَصْحَابَ الْجَنَّةِ أَنْ سَلَامٌ عَلَيْكُمْ.
أحسنتم. سَلَامٌ عَلَيْكُمْ حُسَيْن. MashaAllah. Blessing of Allah Almighty be upon you. May you be called out this way inshallah while entering the Jannah. Alright?
Yes.
So, لَمْ يَدْخُلُوهَا
لَمْ يَدْخُلُوهَا وَهُمْ يَطْمَعُونَ.
Yeah, very beautiful ayah. Look. وعلى الأعراف رجال يعرفون. Those people on the top of the hill, okay, they will know كلن بسيماهم. They will know each of the people by their face. By their face, they will be known. Okay, oh, these are the people who will enter Jannah. These are the people who will enter Hellfire. It's as if it's clear from our face. Okay, those people who are doing wrong deeds. Okay, wrong deeds and people who are doing right deeds. The face kind of shows this. The face kind of shows this. It happens in this world as well. Those who are so close to Allah Almighty, Allah Almighty gives a kind of a light to the hearts of those who are, whose souls are so holy, whose souls are so pure. Okay, spiritually they are so great people. Okay, Allah Almighty gives them this kind of light, okay, that they can see the true face of us, whether this is a good person or this is a bad person. This happens at the Day of Judgment as well. So, وَنَادَوْا أَصْحَابَ الْجَنَّةِ. أَصْحَابَ الْجَنَّةِ will be called out. It means those people, رِجَال, okay, on the top of the A'raf, on the top of the hill, they will call the people of the Jannah. سَلَامٌ عَلَيْكُمْ. Blessing of Allah be upon you. Peace be upon you. MashaAllah. Congratulations. لَمْ يَدْخُلُهَا وَهُمْ يَطْمَعُونَ. They will not have entered it, though they would be eager to do so. This talks about the A'raf themselves. So, refer to the Tafasir books, inshallah. Thank you so much, Hussein. Together recitation we will have. Brothers and sisters, dear listeners, listen and join us and repeat. Ready, everyone?
Yes.
أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
وبينهما حجاب.
وبينهما حجاب.
وعلى الأعراف رجال يعرفون كلا بسيماهم.
وعلى الأعراف رجال يعرفون كلا بسيماهم.
ونادوا أصحاب الجنة أن سلام عليكم.
وَنَادَوْا أَصْحَابَ الْجَنَّةِ أَنْ سَلَامٌ عَلَيْكُمْ.
لَمْ يَدْخُلُوهَا وَهُمْ يَطْمَعُونَ.
لَمْ يَدْخُلُوهَا وَهُمْ يَطْمَعُونَ.
صَدَقَ اللَّهُ الْعَلِيُّ الْعَظِيمُ.
صدق الله العلي العظيم.
That's all from us for today, brothers and sisters, dear listeners. Thank you so much for being with us up to this time. See you inshallah in the next session. Stay with IRB English Radio. Fawad and Hussein Akbari, thank you so much for being with us in this session. See you inshallah next session. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Sayyidina Muhammadi wa alihi al-tahirin.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم.
Let's Recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن.
Welcome to Israel Watch. On this episode, we will focus on Netanyahu's threats to attack Rafah and the possibility of military action there regarding the political issues and the captives. This is while the occupation regime has announced the release of two captives in Rafah in a complex military operation. In addition, there are ongoing contacts to conclude an exchange deal, as well as protests and demands to overthrow Netanyahu's administration to hold early elections. Regarding these topics, I welcome the specialist in Israeli affairs, Professor Ali Haider. Welcome to Israel Watch, dear Professor. So, after the occupation army announced the release of two captives in Rafah during a complex military operation, as they put it, the Zionists began advertising that we can address the issue of the captives without negotiations. But this event will not have a major impact on this issue. The impact of the release of the two captives on the issue of the entire captives have laid the groundwork for those who oppose the captives exchange deal to take advantage of this event and escalate their opposition. Professor Ali Haider, how do you assess the release of the two captives in Rafah in a complex military operation that was prepared for a long time, knowing that the two captives were in the possession of a Palestinian family, not Hamas, according to Osama Hamdan, the former senior representative of Hamas in Lebanon?
In the name of God, the most gracious, the most merciful. In fact, Netanyahu needed such an achievement to justify his positions of refusing to submit to the demands of the Hamas movement in the negotiations in order to continue the genocide. However, the event, in its circumstances and the number of captives, does not change anything from the overall scene. Rather, we can say that it'll be just a passing event. For 2 or 3 days, the world will forget this achievement because 134 captives are still held by the Hamas movement. And therefore, Netanyahu is looking for such tactical events here and there in order to influence public opinion and create for himself a solid foundation to continue the war. This war, in addition to its strategic dimensions, also favors Netanyahu personally. He needs this war to stay in power.
Professor Ali Haider, between the impact of the recent captives release operation and the captives exchange deal, how do you evaluate the Zionist approach regarding the captives?
There, the division still exists at the political level and at the popular level as well, to the point that for the first time in opinion polls, 51% of the Israeli population now supports an exchange deal, even if it comes at the expense of a ceasefire. This is a shift in public opinion that portends what Netanyahu fears. It heralds more transformations because protests are escalating among the families of the captives. All of this is due to the failure to achieve the goals declared so far, not only a failure with regard to eliminating the Hamas movement, which the United States has also begun to say is impossible, but also even at the level of liberating the captives. These could be serious achievements before the eyes of the public, but they have not happened so far.
Here it means that after more than 4 months, Netanyahu has been able to release only two captives, and his attempts have failed on previous occasions.
Yes, the two captives were not held by Hamas. There is news out there, but it needs to be verified. There are talks about a deal with those holding the captives and so on. These things are being said, but I want to emphasize that it is just a passing event whose impact is fleeting and does not change anything in the political scene. The problem is with Netanyahu. No matter how much he tries to find temporary solutions, the effects are not enough to bring stability for his administration.
Indeed, the protest against the way Netanyahu and members of his administration have dealt with the captives at the hands of the resistance in Gaza are escalating day after day. Demands have grown from an exchange deal to overthrowing Netanyahu's administration and holding early elections. Rarely does a session of the Zionist administration pass at the present time without disagreements, divisions, and tensions amongst its members over the management of this aggression against Gaza and the captives exchange deal that is being negotiated. In the last session, there was a rebuke from Netanyahu to ministers in Likud who did not oppose Hamas's terms for the exchange deal. Netanyahu's government is on its way to disintegration. If a deal is concluded for the exchange of the captives with the resistance, Ben-Gvir and Smotrich will withdraw from it. And if it is not concluded, Gantz and Eisenkot will withdraw from it. In both cases, the administration will disintegrate. I mean, according to the Zionist analyst, if the exchange deal is concluded or not, the Netanyahu administration is on the path to disintegration. Opinion polls say that 55% of Israelis want to go to early elections.
In fact, demanding early elections is what Netanyahu fears the most. And everything he does in security and politics is in order to avoid this scenario. But the administration structure may impose on him what he does not want and what is not in his interest. Here, I would like to refer to the significant point which was mentioned a moment ago. These early captives have become hostages of Israeli policy and the internal disputes within the administration. This is because it is not in Netanyahu's interest to push for this deal and put it on the negotiating table with his administration members. This will fire up the situation between the two parties. Therefore, we can say that Netanyahu is keen not to appear as someone who is opposed to the deal, but rather wants the opposition to come from the ministers, whether from his party or from outside his party, so that he is not facing the captives' families. This has greatly affected his public standing in this field.
And the occupation's decision to launch an attack on Rafah. The Hebrew media have revealed the plan of the occupation army for the attack, starting with the evacuation of the displaced either to the northern Gaza Strip or to Khan Yunis. The matter is related to negotiations for the captives' exchange deal. The decision to attack Rafah was taken around 2 weeks ago, and the occupation army is waiting for this political decision to be taken, and the Egyptians fear large displacement operations to its lands. Mr. Ali Haider, the decision to attack Rafah was taken 2 weeks ago, and the Egyptians do not oppose, but they only fear the displacement problems. What do you think?
Unfortunately, the conditions of some Arab countries have become such that the root of the Israeli attack on the Palestinians is not revealed or exposed, but rather it is reflected on them in a direct sense. And this is unfortunate. This is what dares the Israelis to commit massacres and launch attacks. Regarding this area, however, it is possible to talk about more than one point. The Rafah issue is no longer a field issue par excellence, but it has become an interactive issue that is overlapping and interacting with two other problems, which are the issue of negotiations over the captives and the issue of tensions within the administration. Given that the issue of field pressure through Rafah is the political goal of its timing now, it is linked to the captives' negotiations to pressure Hamas to make a concession. Therefore, the more negotiations falter from the Israeli and even American perspective, the more pressure will be needed through Rafah. It seems that there is an indication of a solution if we might seek some kind of freeze in the field to one degree or another in this area. Therefore, we are facing an issue that has become more complex due to its interactions with other issues. This is in addition to the American position, which has become clear that it is not against the operation, and rather we need a different plan in one sense. And also regarding the Egyptians' concerns, we're facing a multidimensional event intertwined with more than one local and regional aspect.
I mean, it is very complicated. The recent contact between President Biden and the head of the Zionist regime, Netanyahu, regarding the attack on Rafah and the captives exchange deal, these issues caught the attention of the Israeli media, which have detailed some of what was revealed. Mr. Ali Haider, did Netanyahu obtain Biden's approval regarding the attack on Rafah?
First, there was certainly no serious American opposition. Second, there was perhaps a disagreement about some details, not the origin of the Israeli attack. Third, this position is not denied by the United States, but rather it has become public that we're not against the military operation in Rafah, but rather we need a reliable parallel plan, in a sense, to protect, as they say, the civilians. It has become clear to everyone that protecting civilians means more casualties. This American hypocrisy is therefore a matter of tension. These are provocative expressions with which they want to fool the Arab world and Arab public opinion. Unfortunately, I think more than 30,000 martyrs and more than 60,000 wounded should be enough to expose this hypocrisy. However, we do not actually need these numbers in order to know the truth.
Professor Ali Haider, specialist in Israeli affairs, thank you very much for your participation in this episode of Israel Watch, and thank you for your good follow-up. Take care.
Is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily, round the clock, for listeners across the globe. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard by the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellites. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran while shortwave, 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz, every day, from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Southern Africa can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz, every day, from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our program via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and IntelSat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.ir/en. Now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.